Today on Brave, Jeff Schwarzentraub encourages us to finish strong in the race of faith.
Friends, the most glorious thing is the cross of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus died, he died for sinners. He died so that sinners could be forgiven and so sinners could forgive. And when we forgive, we drop the offense. We stop complaining. We drop the offense. We roll all our anxieties upon him. Because why? Because he cares for us. Amen.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. When you're running a race, it doesn't really make a difference where you're at in the beginning. The only thing that counts is where you are when it's time to cross the finish line. And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff emphasizes how the same is true when it comes to running the race of faith. Are you pushing through to the finish line or getting hung up on what's behind you? That's what we'll discuss as we continue our series in the book of Hebrews called The Greatest. And if you missed any part of the study so far, catch up today at bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with a message titled, Faithful Finishers.
The fact is, if you live long enough, there will come a time in your life with Christ where there'll be a season where you feel like giving up. Giving up on something that the Lord has for you, giving up on your faith altogether, giving up because it just gets too hard. So what do you do when it gets hard? What do you do when you get to a place where you feel like, I just can't go on? If you've ever been there, God has a word for you today. And if you haven't been there, I encourage you to listen because if you live long enough, you will be. And we're gonna take a look at four behaviors that Christians do that will help you finish the race, how you finish strong. We want you to all be faithful finishers, and that's what God wants you to be. And we're gonna take a look at four ways you can be a faithful finisher. So if you have God's word with you today, I invite you to open up to Hebrews chapter 12. We're gonna be taking a look at the first three verses. I'll read them, and then we'll unpack them together, taking a look at those four behaviors that faithful finishers adhere to. And the first is this, that faithful finishers follow faithful examples. What he's saying is we are surrounded by so many faithful people that have faithed all the way through the finish line. Not only the ones we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, but you have them in your life too. In every generation, God has raised up faithful men and women who are walking with the Lord. And here's what he's saying. Would you please follow the examples of the faithful? I mean, no matter what we're doing, we're standing on the shoulders of men and women who have graced us by being faithful to God. I mean, the reason that we gather here today is so many apostles and other faithful men and women throughout church history have given their lives so that we could gather here and proclaim the truth of God's word. There's always faithful people in every single generation. We're surrounded by them. There's myriads of them. Find them and follow their example. God wants us to follow those who have been placed under the authority of God's word. People who read God's word and say, God, if that's who you are, then I wanna realign my life and reorient my life with you. Find faithful examples and faithful people because Christianity is not just a proclamation religion, it's a demonstration one. We're to be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the world says, do what I say, not what I do. The gospel says, do what I say and what I do. Like, just watch what I do and watch what I say and watch how I live. This is what a walking, talking, breathing example of Jesus looks like. And that's where we get uncomfortable. See, we love to share the four spiritual laws. We just don't like to live them. See, here's what Jesus said. If you're really born again, then you're his living example. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit and his spirit abides in you. So how you live and what you say and what you do all matters in your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people who have bore witness to the truth, many who have been martyred, many who have lived faithfully all the way to the end, and anyone that lives faithful all the way to the end, a faithful finisher, leaves a legacy for how to live. Find people like that and follow them. Follow faithful examples if you're gonna be a faithful finisher. Second is this, eliminate all hindrances. Notice what he says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Two things, encumbrances or hindrances and sin. sin that entangles us. Get rid of the things that are keeping your best from Jesus. Let me tell you a question I hear in the church all the time. Hey, pastor, is it okay for me as a Christian to, and then fill in the blank. Because here's really what the underlying question is. Will God still love me if I do the minimal amount? See, here's a better question. God, will this help me be the best that I can be for Christ? See, that's the question. The question is not, can I get away with this? The question is not, is God okay with this? The question is, will this help me be my best for Christ? Have you ever asked that question? Will dating this person help me be the best for Christ? Will engaging in this behavior help me be the best I can be for Christ? Will engaging in this behavior help me to be the best I can be for Christ? And by the way, when the Lord shows you, don't set it on autopilot. Keep coming back and asking him more and more. See, and if we're really open to what God might want to do with us, then God will speak directly to us about what he wants to remove or change in us for the purpose of what he wants to do in that season in our lives. And it doesn't matter what he's doing in somebody else's life. Well, how come somebody else doesn't? How come they don't have to? And why isn't she this? And why isn't he that? Because God's speaking directly to you. See, we're gonna eliminate all hindrances. Ask this question. Are the people that you're hanging around helping you to be your best for Christ? Here's the question. Are the people that you're hanging out with helping you to grow more with Christ? If the answer is no, it's time to change some relationships. And by that, I don't mean you call up some friends after church today and say, hey, we're done. Pastor Jeff told me we can't talk anymore. That's not what I mean. It means very slowly you begin distancing yourself and praying that God will bring people in your life who will help you grow more in your faith. And over time, as they become a bigger part of your life, some of those others will drift by the wayside. And you still love them and you still care for them and you're still available to them, but they're not your core friends anymore because it is impossible. It is impossible to grow in Christ without other Christians around you, period, right? That's why God created the church as a community of saints for the advancement of his gospel and his kingdom on this planet. Will this be the best for me that I can be for Christ? Let's talk about people. Talk about places that you go. Am I too tempted to go into sin when I go to places like this, or is this really my best for Christ? How about money? Money. Like, sometimes I meet Christians, have been Christians for a long time. They've never ever tithed to the Lord. They've never tithed, right? Other Christians have tithed. I started tithing 40 years ago and they put it on autopilot, but they forget that every single thing they have belongs to the Lord. Removing hindrances means removing clutter. But by show of hands, how many of you have been married in this room for at least 10 years? Have you collected more junk since when you were first married, or is it just me? I mean, isn't it interesting you get married? We had nothing when we got married, and now we're trying to find places to store the stuff that we don't even want anymore, right? The same things happen with us in our lives. So when it comes to resources, it's not just God, I tithe, and that's it. It's, Lord, everything I have, my home, my cars, my bank accounts, everything that you prospered, it's all yours. In this season, what do you want me to do? How will this help me be my best for you? What's it look like for me to be more generous? What's it look like for me to be more content right now? See, when we constantly come back and are asking the Lord what he wants for us, I find that the Lord has a way of speaking deeply to us about personal things that he wants for us. Friends, family is important. It's the most important unit of relationships in our culture. Satan's tried to destroy it from the beginning. It's super important. Being a godly husband, being a godly wife, being godly parents, super important. I'm not downplaying that. But sometimes we can even make family an idol. We can put family ahead of our relationship with God. We can put our kids ahead of our relationship with God. We can put comfort ahead of our relationship with God. We can put security ahead of our relationship with God. You need to remove all hindrances. Let me show you three hindrances I think are most pervasive in the church. See if any of these apply. The first is narcissism. Narcissism is a really fancy word when the trinity of your life is me, myself, and I. It's when you wake up and you're focused on you and you alone first. It's pride. And here's what happens. You quench God's goodness when you live with narcissism and pride. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you live your life and you think every sermon is about what God needs to do for you, and you wake up every day with your life and your things and your stuff, and if there's any extra time, then God gets some and maybe some other people. It's backwards. The Bible says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Who are we not really to be concerned about? us. Why? Because if we'll concern ourselves with God and others, he'll take care of us. It's a faith step to watch God do that. But when we're narcissistic or we're prideful, we quench God's goodness in our lives. And friends, I'm not just talking about non-Christians. Y'all know those non-Christians out there, they're totally narcissistic. I can show you a lot of Christians that are really narcissistic, really prideful, think that it's all about them. It needs to be repented of. Second is this, and I think it's one of the biggest in the church, it's unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. If narcissism quenches God's goodness, unforgiveness hinders it. It hinders God's goodness. When you think about forgiveness, really what you're doing is you are releasing somebody of a debt that they owe to you because they treated you poorly. That's when you say in your heart, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Yeah, exactly. That's why you forgive them. Because to hang on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Forgiveness means to release. It literally means to untie. If you can't forgive a person, a situation, a place, a group of people, you stay anchored to them. And every single time you try to come forward, you become more like the person you're anchored to than actually where you're going. Forgive. Don't forgive when you feel like it because you'll never feel like it. Forgiveness doesn't mean when you forgive, I'm so glad I forgave. Now everything feels really good. No, forgiveness is an act of the will. I forgive so that God can bring healing in my life so that I can move forward. And friends, I find in the church that church people, even though the central tenet of the Christian faith is the forgiveness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died so that we could be forgiven and who rose from the grave to validate that he was the Son of God, forgiveness is the central tenet, and yet we as Christians say, well, I can't forgive them. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You gotta forgive others. And I hear some people talking about how you have to forgive yourself. I don't think you can forgive yourself. Like, how am I gonna forgive me? But I know what people mean when they say that. What they mean when they say that is, I made some bad choices, or I made a bad choice and I don't feel good about the choice I made. So I would say to you, don't forgive yourself. Here's what I would say to you. Receive the Lord's forgiveness in your life for the bad decision that you made. You never came to the cross because you were perfect, and God doesn't expect you to be perfect after you come to the cross, but admit that you're a sinner and admit that was a bad choice and admit that you were wrong and repent of it and receive the grace of God. Forgiving yourself won't help you. Receiving God's forgiveness over poor choices you made will free you. Jesus Christ died to forgive sinners. Is that not good news or what? And then I've talked to people that say, well, I need to forgive God. Let me tell you something. You do not need to forgive God. How can you forgive God when he's perfect? He's all good, he's all perfect all the time. Now you can be angry about circumstances in your life, and when you are, the enemy can lie to you and say, if God really loved you, he would have never taken your kid away. If God loved you, your spouse wouldn't have died. If God really loved you, your mom wouldn't have died of cancer. If God, that's so wrong. God loved you so much that he gave you the time that you had with those people. That's why you enjoyed them so much. God is so good. He's still pouring out his mercy on you. His mercy's fresh every single morning. You are not mad at God. You're disappointed in how life went. And guess what? Join the club, because there's nothing on this side of heaven that's perfect. You're not disappointed with God, you're disappointed with the circumstance. And the more you press into God and see how good he is and how merciful he is and how compassionate he is, the more you can experience his grace. Friends, I just want to encourage you this morning to follow faithful examples and to eliminate all hindrances. And then what else does he say? All those encumbrances that beset us and the sin which so easily entangles. Friends, sin is like a rope that gets tied around your leg. The enemy invites you into a sinful condition, and he opens the door about that much to show you how good it's gonna be, but he doesn't show you all the pain you're gonna have if you go that way. Hey, it's okay with that gal at the office. You're just talking. You're not doing anything wrong. I mean, yeah, you're married, but she's nicer than your wife is. Hey, I know you're just on Facebook. I mean, nothing's ever gonna come of this. I mean, he's a nice guy, and you guys are just sharing your hearts together. Nothing's ever gonna come of this. Hey, nobody's really ever gonna find out at work that you're cheating. Hey, nobody's gonna know at school that you plagiarized that paper. Hey, you're okay, I got you. He shows us this much and doesn't show us when you go that way, you choose to sin and there's consequences you can't control. You can go downtown, you can choose to jump off a building, gravity will take over. I don't know the consequences, but they're not gonna be good, right? If you choose to sin, you choose to endure consequences. You just don't get to choose what the consequences are. right? So we got to get rid of sin. That's why God shows us in his word what sin is. He wants us to know so that we stop living that way. Now, when I was a kid, I remember growing up in school and fire department would come in and they would teach us three things to do if we ever caught fire. Remember that? Stop, drop, and roll. Fortunately, I never caught fire. But I think the same is true for us as Christians if we're going to continue to eliminate these hindrances and sins is stop. Stop living with unforgiveness, bitterness, hurt, resentment, anger, sadness, fear. Stop. Stop. Then what do? You drop the offense. Drop the offense. You know you've dropped the offense when you get to a place when people can bring it up and you don't have to talk about it anymore. Some of us have dropped the offense. You know, it's kind of like we bury the hatchet, but we leave the handle sticking out. So that if it ever comes up again, like, yeah, oh, let me add to that. Let me tell you what they did. You don't even know the whole story. It was so bad. Drop it. Drop the offense. By the way, let me just say this because I feel like it needs to be said in church because you don't hear this all the time. No church ever hurt you. Nobody's ever been hurt by the church. There are people in the church that have hurt you from time to time. There are well-meaning people that have hurt you and there are sinners who have hurt you. I believe that, but the church never hurt you. Don't blame the church for something that happened to you. Jesus Christ loves the church. He died for the church. He's coming back for the church. Speak highly of the church. I felt like I needed to say that this morning. So stop living with bitterness and hurt. Drop the offense. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And then roll. Roll your anxieties back on God. Lord, if I forgive them, how's this going to work out? Let God deal with all that. Let God be the one that makes it right. Roll it back on him. Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. You ever been to the airport before? Seen those moving sidewalks that they have? They're not as big of a deal to me as they were when I had a kid, kids that were 3 and 1 years old. You've seen those parents carting through the airport. They got a stroller, they got a car seat, they got luggage, they got bags, they got everything, and they're cruising around and they see that moving sidewalk and it's like, praise the Lord. Because what can you do? You can stop, you can drop, and you can let that thing roll. And guess what happens? When that conveyor belt is carrying all your luggage, you don't have to carry it anymore. You can let it go. In the same way, you can let God carry all your garbage for you. You can let God take it where it needs to. You don't have to carry that stuff anymore. And then you're free to continue to walk. And it's amazing. That baggage will catch up to you if you let it. Or you can just keep on walking. Friends, the most glorious thing is the cross of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus died, he died for sinners. He died so that sinners could be forgiven and so sinners could forgive. And when we forgive, we drop the offense. We stop complaining. We drop the offense. We roll all our anxieties upon him. Because why? Because he cares for us. Amen? If you're going to be a faithful finisher, you need to follow faithful examples. Eliminate all hindrances and sin. And let me give you a third one. Faithful finishers don't ever quit. Faithful finishers don't ever quit. I'm going to encourage you, don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. If you live long enough, there will be a time in your spiritual life you will want to quit. I promise you. But notice what he says. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Your version may say, let us run with steadfastness, or let us run with perseverance, the race marked out before us. Each one of you has your own lane to run in that God ordained for you, and we're to run with perseverance. What does that mean? It means you're going to get knocked over. It means there's going to come a time in your life you're going to want to quit. If you live long enough like I have, you will know there are certain things that God takes you through in your life that you would have never chosen that circumstance. That if you go back and hit repeat, you would have done something different. And there's other times where you didn't even do anything and a circumstance comes that you don't want. Where there's everything inside of you where you feel spiritually like you just got the wind kicked out of your gut and you're so done. Because if God's so good, then why am I going through this? That's why you run with perseverance. Because God makes clear there will come a time in your life you're going to get knocked down. There will come a time in your life where you're embarrassed. There will come a time in your life it just doesn't feel good anymore. There will come a time where it just doesn't seem like it's going to work out the way that I thought my life was going to work out. And just to give you a little clue, your life will never always work out the way you think it's going to work out. So run with perseverance. It means get back up. I mean, all of you in here that are able to walk today, you couldn't walk perfect the first time you walked. Every single one of you fell down at some point in time, and yet I'm sure you were encouraged. I mean, I've never seen somebody watch a kid learn how to walk who fell and they're like, man, they're never gonna get it. You better crawl, you fool. I mean, nobody talks like that. But then when it comes spiritually about how to walk with God, which is a super difficult process and we don't know how to do it, that when we fall, sometimes we end up shooting our own wounded and telling people, well, how come you didn't get that right? Because we're broken people that need the grace of God to continue forward. But when we continue forward, what I find is that God often uses those broken areas of our life to help other people grow in their faith so that we don't feel alone. Because the Bible says no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, which means whatever temptation you face or some of the sins that have befallen you are pretty common right here in our church, let alone all around the kingdom. And yet the enemy lies and said, if you were really a Christian, you would have never sinned this sin. So let me tell you something. Sin does not disqualify you. Unbelief does. I mean, we're fine theologically saying, yeah, sinners are welcome in church. We get that. God forgave us. Except for the biggies, like abortion and adultery and alcoholism and drugs and divorce and fornication and homosexuality and pride and narcissism. Like those are hard to forgive. But if you're a gossip, God will totally forgive that. I mean, we make this list that's so high. And I'm going to tell you, there's no sin that you've sinned that disqualifies you from where God is taking you. Not one. The enemy will lie to you and say, well, because of that blemish on your record, you can't move forward. Go back through Hebrews 11. We talked about it last week. The only perfect person in the entire word of God is Jesus Christ. Everybody else is broken and has stains all over them. That's why we need the grace of God, right? Have you ever heard people say something like this? Life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Marathon runners don't say that. You ever seen a marathon winner? It's a sprint. They all run each of the 26.2 miles in under 5 minutes. I've run marathons before, and when I've run it, I've been about the halfway point at about the 2 hour mark. When I listen to the radio, I say, oh, the race is over, but we're gonna keep spinning tunes because there's a few people that are still out there. As me. And we don't have to worry about winning this race because Jesus Christ already won it, but God just says, get up and keep running. Pick up your mat and go. Why are you wallowing in all your sin? Everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why I'm giving you my grace. And when I pour out my grace to you, then I can use you for goodness. Friends, if you have a blemish on your record, just come to the cross of Jesus and get it all washed clean all again and start fresh and get up and keep on running. Amen? That's what he wants you to do. All of us have blemishes on a record. All of us have sin that has kept us from being our best, and God's willing to forgive it all. So don't you ever quit. Forget what lies behind and strain towards what lies ahead.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, and part two of a three-part message titled Faithful Finishers. It comes from our study in the book of Hebrews called The Greatest, where we're gaining a better understanding of the greatness of God and what it means to walk with Him in faith. You can find each lesson from this series and catch up anytime at bravemedia.online. And if you've listened to Brave for some time and value these solid biblical teachings, consider helping us continue sharing these gospel messages by supporting this ministry with a donation of any amount. Our mission is to save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus Christ by boldly sharing the truth of God's Word. And as we expend the resources necessary to bring these gospel messages to new listeners, we're so thankful for fellow believers like you willing to give what they can to support that effort. And you can make a one-time donation of any amount today with just the touch of a button by heading over to bravemedia.online and clicking the Donate tab. Again, our website is bravemedia.online. If you prefer to send a check in the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, that's Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Before we close today's program, we'd like to invite you to visit us in person for our weekend services. Join us this Sunday at our church campus in Englewood or our second location in Westminster. No matter where you're listening from, you can join us right from home through our live stream. For details about our weekend services, head to bravemedia.online. And at the bottom of our homepage, click the button labeled Brave Church. If you have any questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, send us an email. hello@bravechurch.co. I'm Bill Carl, inviting you back tomorrow for the third and final part of today's lesson, Faithful Finishers. That's next time, here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.